morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. What do you know?
I'm just about to do another phone interview, and I thought I'd use you as my guinea pig again.
Okay.
Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes. Perfect. Who are you interviewing this morning?
I'm going to interview a guy named Gino Church. Gino has spoken, I think he's done 3 ODA events. He is from Greenville, South Carolina. He's just an awesome character. His organization is called Brains on Fire, where he serves as creative director. And he's just become a good friend and is a kind of a global thought leader in the space of marketing being something more than advertising.
Sure.
So should be good. I'll give him a call here in a couple minutes. But I wanted to make sure that everything was set up right. I still feel like I've got training wheels on with all of this stuff, and so it's good to test and be prepared.
Yep. So. No, it sounds good to me.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Well, I don't know anything else today.
Okay, well, you enjoy yourself and
I will.
Take care and be safe. Yep.
All right. I love you, Dad.
Love you too. Have a great day.
You too. Bye bye.
Yep. Bye bye.
Hi, I'm Hugh Weber. Welcome to the Potluck Society. With this week's potluck, I had to make a strategic choice, either to pull one theme from this conversation or to kind of just lay it all out there. So I've decided, in the interest of full transparency and experimentation, to give you a Gino Church potluck. He is a broad and deep thinker and creator, and this week, you're going to get to take a little taste of all of him. I hope you enjoy.
It's Gino.
Gino Church.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Now, when Gino says he's doing great, I encourage you to believe him. But also know that Gino is an optimist. And last year was a year of turmoil. The day I called him, he was in a particularly reflective mood.
I get last year was an interesting year for me. And that's kind of what I said in that note that a lot of really to have to be a bad year in terms of personally for me of having a diagnosis and going through a tremendous adjustment of I guess my physical and mental.
Last year, Gina was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. By his own estimation, this diagnosis rocked his world.
Kind of reach into yourself and think about, you know, your purpose and what makes you passionate, what gets you going. And, you know, when you go through a period like that, you kind of start reflecting on it. And I just was blessed to have some opportunities that, I don't know, that made me feel alive and think. And, you know, and going out there, getting to speak and thinking about cultural things that aren't where I walk every day. As people, we don't do that enough. We just don't.
When Gino says going out there, he means Rapid City. He joined us last fall for the Rapid City ODA event after previous ODA events in Sioux Falls and Bismarck. I mentioned to him that after such a disruptive year, either this year, 2017, would be a year of transition or perhaps even transformation.
That's true. I think for me, I think on two fronts, it is a huge transformation year. As I'm kind of looking at it as that this year is the next phase in my life as a person and also as a career. And what am I trying to do here? And I really leaned on the inspiration that I got. I guess I kind of went out to Rapid City to go out and speak in terms of sharing wisdom and inspiration and trying to think and in a provocative way inspire people to invest in themselves and the people around them to create change. And it's amazing. I got an insight to, okay, maybe you need to change yourself and what are you going to do in 2017? And I think I've been taking that time, and I'm just starting to get there. But I've been looking at, this whole concept that you and I heard out there talking to the director of the Crazy Horse Memorial of the concept of greatness and what I've been calling the call to greatness.
During Gino's most recent visit, we had the opportunity to spend some time with Lori Beckvar, president and chief operating officer of the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation. She brought to the table this idea of greatness.
I think more people need to feel that there's some things that they're adding value to in this world. And that's what I think the idea of call to greatness is that me being great is not me getting accolades. My call to greatness is to help the greater good for education, for teaching, for being a defender of childhood, to be a force of love, to make sure the kids get that chance to have that special moment of childhood and not have it be robbed by abuse and neglect. I want that to be my call to greatness. That's the greatness. It's not me. It's not me getting credit for it. And then I hope that that's what other people want, and that's what I've been inspired by going to the Dakotas, and is a refreshing interaction with people that don't feel pretentious and feel insanely communal and connected to the community, and at the same time attention with the people of the land that were there before them. And that's really, really interesting to me, and as it forced me to dig into that culture, and that was an eye-opening experience, and that's what's kind of rocked my world to where I'm trying to balance this path between pirates and natives of the lands of the Americas.
Okay, so that might have seemed like a little bit of a left turn, pirates, but to know Gino is to know and love his fascination, borderline obsession, with pirates. And the study he's done, both in terms of popular culture and a more academic approach to pirates. Pirates are no joke with Gino.
And this democracy, the ownership of all, the extended family, we're all for one and one for all, that they both shared was unique. And we take that for granted today, but it wasn't around. And so that's what interests me, and I really believe there's lessons there for us when it comes to communications, building community, creating change, creating a movement.
Now we're going to come back to pirates. Wait for that. But first, a subject that Gino and I are both obsessed with: neuroscientists.
Justin Smith, who's a PhD out there in South Dakota, And then another friend of mine, Justine Fu, who's also a PhD. They're both neuroscientists. She's here in the Carolinas. I had a conversation with them about what is a community, and they both, two separate conversations, went down the path of a community is the brand's mythology. It's the stories that get collected, shared, and enriched through people, not through tools, not through advertising campaigns. And to your point, you're so right. One of the first questions that we ask is an insight is, tell us the founding story. And it's amazing how many times people say, God, I haven't told that in a long time, or I don't know that the employees really know it. And I've actually spoke at an internal event and did a workshop, and that was one of the asked people if they knew the founding story, and the CEO got up and said, shame on me, I've never shared with you how we got started.
Now, about this time, you may be thinking, we were talking about diabetes in 2017, then we made a jump to pirates and the prairie Native Americans, and now we're talking about brand communities. But the thing about Gino, and I think my brain's similar, all those things are connected. people, regardless of their background and culture, are just waiting to have their stories told, the mythologies told, and brands, the groups that Gino helps in his professional sense, are exactly the same.
I don't know that you need to think any more than that. You know, I mean, you build around that. And, you know, and there's so many magical stories out there that we get tired of it, but way before people do. And it's like, when is the last time Coca-Cola has talked about the original formula? It's been a long time. And it's amazing how we just move away from stuff.
Gino may sound a little discouraged with what he's seen in this space, but when he came to South Dakota, he was extremely excited.
You know, it's not rocket science. It's not anything new. But you know, for me, it's been really interesting to go to South Dakota and hear from the Crazy Horse perspective, to start digging into Tonka and the beef jerky and read their mission, which is about connecting people back to earth, and what that means for food, and being a diabetic now and understanding the effects of what food does to our body. In my case, my blood sugar, I live with that challenge every single day. Yeah. And sadly, most of the time, you know, we forget about it. Not that we forget about it. We just put it downward on our list of priorities.
When Gino talks about forgetting about it or downward list of priorities, he's talking about all of these things. He's talking about origin stories, connection to the earth, the nutrition, connection to each other. He's even talking about pirates.
When I go back to my crazy pirate fetish that I've got, my dream of doing this Pirates for Good book, which is now kind of turned into something that's a little bit broader because of the experiences and where I think 2017 needs to go, is that, you know, it's really funny as it kind of hit me recently that the interesting thing about pirates, and you think about social media today and the issues that we have with marketing and branding, we have a huge problem with getting the majority of a community to act, or a place for them, the casual observer, the fan, the lurker. And I found a nugget of insight that said the average engagement for social platforms is like 0.01%. And we think that's great. But pirates would not have survived if only 0.1% of the crew owned it. And they specifically built a code and a reward system so there was no free riding. The people that got to enjoy the fruits of the labor of the few, because, you know, the pirate, everybody got to vote, you know, as you and I know, and everybody got to, everybody got paid. And so the interesting thing there is thinking about this is that we have to do a better job of finding the mutual benefits, to finding the good there that works for the casual as well as the enthusiast. And we spend no time there in marketing. We spend no time there at an organizational level to empower people to be a part of our movement. And I think that's that we do that poorly. Marketing does inclusivity poorly. We either do it so generically, no face, vanilla, to where it doesn't feel like it's worth my time or my investment, or we do it at such a level that it's aimed for people that are at the top of the food chain. And so there's not a place for multiple levels of people to have a social contract with whatever it is that you're doing. It doesn't fit in. Oh, does that make any sense?
It makes complete sense to me. Gino wants people to care. He wants them to get engaged. He wants them to work together and have shared stories and experiences. But the big question I have is, what does it change? What does a marketer on a mission really look like or mean?
I think what it does, Hugh, is puts more accountability on actually really doing what you say you can do.
Right.
Because I think I think, you know, I just got out of a meeting to where we're working on a project fighting Aboriginal child abuse in Australia. And my biggest concern is being a steward for what they do, that what we present will work. That it's not just selling it and getting it sold. It's just not doing it because it looks cool and it sounds cool and it would be fun. But will it work? Will it work? Will it work for all people?
Gino wants his work to matter because he's heard the origin stories. He knows that at the beginning of this story, the work he's doing, there are children being abused. He knows that in other stories, there are big visions and dreams of business owners. And that when he sits down in communities in the Dakotas, there are people who want a better community. And he just wants to know that his work matters.
Because that's the million-dollar question. And you know, part of it is that, you know, to be honest, do any of us know? So you've got to put your best effort to put it in play and then be insanely agile, be insanely flexible, and be rooted in being people-centric over tool-centric.
Now, I'm not going to psychoanalyze Gino. That's not what I do here at the Potluck Society. But I get this sense that Gino is still searching for something, that maybe through the disruption he felt with his diagnosis last year, he's found a mission in helping other people work through disruption to a place of connection.
I'll admit, I'm still searching. And I think that's good, because feeling challenged and feeling scared of what is next, that's not good enough. Continue to grow, continue to strive, continue to learn from cultures that are different from mine, I think are so critical in this upcoming year, because I think that reflects back on what just happened with the with politics and the political wave in this country. You know, it goes to show that we need to spend more time with an anthropologic sense of curiosity, that we need to go out and watch and listen and learn and get out of our world, whether that's of Starbucks and Chipotle and our car club or our select group of friends, and start going to Waffle House and McDonald's for breakfast and the local diner or the mom and pop breakfast place, or go to a meetup to where you don't know anyone. What are those things that we can do to change and challenge our perspective? As I speak of, when you think about Galileo taking his telescope and continuing to challenge his beliefs and continue to look at the stars and find new things, what are we doing to do that? How are we finding our new stars, our new things that will challenge our fixed sets of behaviors? Because, you know, as a society, we're challenged by that. And in business, we're challenged by that.
In this way and many others, Gino is extremely lucky to work where he works at Brains on Fire. This is an organization that's built on disrupting its own perceptions.
I think at Brains on Fire, there is an internal mythology that we all carry inside of our soul. We're a little bit of it. We have the feeling that we're kind of the underdog. We fight for the scrappy. We're roll up your sleeves kind of people. We do insight. We love to do insight. We love to learn what we don't know. We're not afraid of what we don't know, you know, blah, 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 blah. It could go on and on. And if that means moving which we're thinking about doing, is moving into another part of Greenville that would put us into being an explorer, being some of the first businesses to go into a community that is on the verge of taking off, but not there yet. That excites us.
Yeah. Because that's who you are. And it's both who you are who you've become and who you want to be, which is awesome.
And so I think this year for me is going to be a lot of beta testing, a lot of trying stuff out, and a lot of failures, and trying to come up with stuff to do that. And that's what intrigues me today.
He talks so confidently about trials and errors, about testing and failing. That sounds terrifying. Are you afraid of that testing and failing piece, Gino? I think as an outsider that's gotten to spend a little bit of time with you, but still an outsider.
You've had this
success, and you've written a couple books, and it'd be so much less risky to write a book or two more on similar topics, and to stay in that space. Like, is there any fear in that for you? Do you see that as exciting, or does it come with anxiety?
I think you're absolutely right. Because to be honest with you, the easy way is to continue to follow the same path, and we would not have an issue with a publisher. You know, right now the whole idea of the pirate and pirate for good and pirate democracy related to marketing is scary for publishers because, oh, are people really going to want that? Well, people don't know what they want. You know, I think Henry Ford said, you know, if we asked what people wanted before we built the car, they would just want a better horse. Right. And so I think if there's anything that I've learned that, you know, what makes me feel alive is it's weird. The calculated risk of trying things like this is like nothing to lose compared to some other things that some other people. I'm not a job hopper. You know, I haven't had a desire to go and like hop, 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 hop. To me, that's where I'm risk adverse.
Right.
Putting my neck on the line, trying this out, going there. I have less of a fear of that, which is probably far more dangerous. It's really weird how that works for me. But what I found, Hugh, I think, is that, you know, people want to play in the sandbox. And whenever I have kind of mentioned it, sometimes when I've spoken and said, I'm going to talk about some things that I've never talked about before. So this is going to kind of be the first conversation with an audience, with you guys about this. This is what I'm thinking. I really do that because that's what I would love to hear from people.
Yeah,
I want to hear where they got with X, Y, and Z, but okay, now what's going on? Okay, you've done that. You know, I mean, even my so-called successes, there's so much room to blow it up and do it better. My failures, obviously, room to do it up. I post-mortem on everything that I do, and I'm pretty critical to myself about that, and I think that's where we learn, and I think that's what I like about speaking, is that raw in the momentness, even in going off a script, is where you really grow, and having people ask you questions. And then having to, in a spontaneous, continuous manner, interact and think is where the good stuff comes. Yeah. And so the more that we put that out there, the more that we are surprised by what we learn, the more that's going to help us to get down that path.
And it's hard not to see Gino's visits to South Dakota as part of the journey, part of him getting down that path. He jumped from this idea of leaving the script and improvising directly to a meeting he had in Rapid City. The juxtaposition for me was jarring.
Just sitting there at that breakfast and talking to those folks about the issues of trying to build that community inside of the community there for all, and in the delicate balance of doing that. It would take so much longer to get down to those types of conversations in the bigger cities.
Yeah.
And so the story there is I don't know. There's a lot you could do. I think for me, I guess my learning is slow down and be present and pay close attention to what people are doing and how it relates. I think I guess what I'm trying to say is that unconsciously stereotype people that are not in a city. We get that being from South Carolina, same thing. Yeah. That we're not as culturally significant. And that's the value of real in a way, there's more clarity. Sometimes when you're in bigger cities, there's so much visceral going on that you get lusty for the glitz and you miss authenticity and reality.
I don't think any part of this is Gino trying to charm up a rural state. I think he's trying to say that we matter. This state, this region, our people, the origin stories we have, our connection to the land and something bigger matters. It matters inherently and intrinsically, but it also matters to Gino. The connection he's made here to the people, to the spirit, to the idea of greatness matters to him.
But it was great for me. This last one really, you know, was a great. I was starting to feel healthier, and it was just a great. I don't know. It was a great time for me spiritually to come out, and I got so much more than I could have ever have given, and I just really appreciate it. You know, just really, really do.
I've thought a lot about this conversation with Gino. I've held on to the interview for a couple months. And ultimately, what I think I came up with, the insight for me, is that by listening to others, really listening to them, hearing their stories, really digging in deep, as Gino says, with the spirit of an anthropologist, we find out something about them. But maybe, just maybe, we find out something about ourselves as well.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great weekend.
You too, and we'll talk with you soon, Gino.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for all the feedback we've received on Action Antidotes over the last several weeks. It sounds like you're really enjoying these and taking them to heart. So, this week's Action Antidote: find yourself a local weekly newspaper. Over the last couple months, I've probably read 24 of these newspapers, and I find them to be a fantastic source of incredible stories coming from ordinary people. Find a newspaper, pick an ordinary person, whether they're in the social column, the sports section, or somewhere on the front cover, and just write them a note. Whether they're in your community or someone else's, write them a note. Encourage them to keep on working, keep on building, keep on experimenting, and keep on succeeding. And if you can't find a local weekly newspaper, drop me an email, hugh@hughweber.com. Drop me an email and I'll send you a name and address. That's it. Send a note. That's it. You did it. Thanks this week to Carl Koiser for his ever-present genius on the audio. Thanks to Pony Creek Studios for our theme music. Thanks to my partners and friends at South Dakota Public Broadcasting for all of their support and guidance as we figure out what exactly the Potluck Society is. And thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen, for sending incredible notes and feedback and just support. We're all in this together. Your stories matter, and it's my privilege to be able to discover them with you. Thank you for joining us here at the Potluck Society. I hope I'll see you soon. And as always, don't forget to bring an idea to pass.